All right, you guys, happy Thursday. I'm excited because it's lawsuit update day. I have news. I'm going to give you a brief update on Blake Lively's subpoena. She has just been going crazy on all sorts of people that are covering her. I also have an unbelievable update regarding Emmanuel Macron's lawsuit against me. I'm saying you're not going to believe it, but you probably will because this whole story is unbelievable, but we all believe it. And I just need to speak to you guys. I need to vent. I need like a session, a therapy session with you guys right now. Also, Barry Weiss's company, The Free Press, has been valued at $250 million. Now, if you're thinking, who the hell is Barry Weiss and what is The Free Press? You are literally all of us, and that's kind of the point, okay? They're just printing money, folks. This is not a meritocracy. Welcome back to Candace. Got Germany in the chat already. Yep, we're going to need you guys too. This is now going to be a global investigation. Okay, something completely bananas for you guys. I couldn't believe it, but yes, it's very real. So come on, down the rabbit hole we go. Okay, so one of the strangest aspects of the entire Brigitte Macron legacy is that they have consistently, and I'm referring to the first couple, they have consistently attempted to present as evidence of Brigitte's existence, her birth announcement, okay? Brigitte Trogneau's birth announcement, which ran in the local newspaper of Amiens being the town that her and Macron were born in. And they're like, this is proof that she's alive. I'm going to show you this birth announcement here. It reads Anne-Marie, Jean-Claude, and Mary Vaughn, Monique, and Jean-Michel Trogneau. And this is in French, but they're very happy to announce the birth of their sister, Brigitte, okay? And that ran in the Amiens newspaper, I believe, 1953. But just like on the surface, it is a weird thing to continually present as evidence that you existed. Just think about that, right? Like if you are challenging me to prove that I existed, the very last thing that I'm going to produce is a newspaper article, because who cares? I'm going to be like, here is my birth certificate. Here are photos of me. Here's me with my family. They just love this newspaper clipping so much. It appears everywhere. Okay. And when I say that it appears everywhere and that they have insisted on this birth announcement as an element of truth or veracity, they even included this as a fact in their filings against me. Okay. Take a look. This is the lawsuit page and they're filing against me. Point number 23. It reads, on April 13th, 1953 in Amiens, France, Mrs. Macron was born Brigitte Trogneau, a woman. She was the youngest of six children in a prominent chocolate making family in Amiens. That'll be relevant later. An image of her birth announcement and family photo featuring Mrs. Macron as a child is below. Okay, so they include this again. Look at this announcement in Le Courrier Picard. That's the local newspaper. And they circle the person who they allege is Brigitte on the lap. No mention of our boy Jean-Michel Trogneau on the left there. And by the way, that photo on the right, the one that they just loved to give to the press, we know for a fact that that photo has been retouched, because in other presentations of this photo, there is no lamp in the background. So there's a lamp sometimes, there's not a lamp sometimes. So there's no question that this photo has at some point gone through a retouching. But we're not talking about this photo. So let's just stick with this strange newspaper clipping that is so evidentiary. So the real trouble with Emmanuel Macron and Brigitte launching this lawsuit is that they have accidentally launched international sleuths, okay? We now represent an army of people worldwide who are looking into the story because it's so crazy for a sitting president to do this. And people are emailing us. They've got tidbits that require further inquiry. They want to help along with the story, especially people in France, obviously, because they feel so oppressed by the state of affairs. They feel oppressed by their press, right? And an army of internet sleuths very much understands that this lawsuit really is a war on us, right? Like the press is launching a war on us. They're saying, how dare you ask questions? How dare you when we give or deliver an official narrative, how dare you challenge it? How dare you challenge our credentials and our authority? There's a lot riding on this, because we know that the press has been for a very long time at war with the truth. And this is a most stunning example of that, right? They, the press, created this entire scandal by effectively lying on behalf of Brigitte and Emmanuel, right? Every element of the legacy they created was BS. She was hot. She was wearing short skirts. She was an irresistible teacher. No, she wasn't. She was wearing pantsuits. How could you say that? How did you not, as the press, do your due diligence and take a look at this picture and other pictures available of her during her time of teaching and go, yeah, maybe no, not Claudia Schiffer in short skirts. And then, of course, we then learn later on in the series that best image, you can pull that up, best image belongs to Mimi Marchand, who then gets charged with forging documents. Everything's pretty weird. Anyways, since the press partook in this lie, they're in a rather precarious situation right now, right? This lawsuit exposes them. If we're able to prove that Brigitte Macron was indeed born a male, then why would there ever be any reason for us to accept anything the mainstream media tells us ever again? Like, there's no reason for us to ever listen to them now. There'd be no reason for us to ever listen to anything they actually even told us in the past, because now we realize that they're telling big lies, huge lies. That is the true significance of this lawsuit, and I want to underscore that. This brings us to the next point, because this is insane. One of these internet sleuths, right, a Twitter user who goes by the handle Sagan Army, which, by the way, is a nod to this guy, Zoe Sagan. Sorry if I'm not saying that your last name right. But this was one of the earliest accounts that I was following and that was investigating Zoe Sagan's account. Brigitte, the background, was saying something does not make sense here. And then what happened was his entire account got banned on X because of French laws. They can just like disappear you if they want to. And so this person is using that name, Sagan Army. More people were like, nope, we're behind Zoe Sagan. And they tweeted this thread. And I'm obviously interpreting this for you guys, translating this rather into English because this thread was in French. It reads, coincidences are hard to kill. Brigitte Choignot arrives at La Providence, that's the school that Emmanuel went to, in Amiens in 1991 and then leaves for Paris in 2007. Okay, that's an established fact. A certain Elaine Choignot is appointed the head of the Somme Departmental Archives in Amiens from 1992 to 2008. So almost virtually the exact same time you get this person, Elaine Choignot, who's being appointed to the Departmental Archives in Amiens. Let's continue. The thread continues. It is this same Elaine Choignot who will digitize documents from the Courier Picard on behalf of the Departmental Archives. It is strange, however, that the page on the archives website that referenced his appointment is no longer available. So this person's saying, oh, by the way, someone named Elaine Choignot was in charge of the archives, the digital archives in Amiens during this time. And rather mysteriously, you used to be able to find this on the website, the archive website, but they've gotten rid of that. But then this user continues, fortunately, the internet forgets nothing, and this web capture is indeed authentic. So if you click this link, it goes on Wayback Machine. If you guys are not familiar with Wayback Machine, essentially, it archives the internet, right? So you can just take a photo of something a different year or ask it to archive a certain hyperlink, and it will capture it. So fortunately, they had captured, somebody on Wayback Machine had captured this entry on the Amiens archive website, and here is what it reads. I'm showing you this here. It reads the Picard Courier newspaper is telling you that from the time frame, they're archiving stuff from the Picard Courier newspaper from 1945 to 1960, and then it tells us that content, the documents that they have, documents from the Courier Picard borrowed by Elaine Choignot, who's a teacher, from the premises of the journal and lent to the departmental archives of the Somme to be digitized and put online. The originals are not kept in the departmental archives of the Somme. So what they're saying here is what we had digitized was given to us by Elaine Choignot. We don't have any originals. We digitized it. This teacher gave it to us. Oh, wow. Okay. And the period of time, of course, includes this birth announcement. Like Elaine Choignot was the person that was in charge of this, and he was the one that provided this document. Now, this Twitter user goes on and says, it will be noted that this document, included in the complaint by the Macrons against Candace Owens, which is a digitized press clipping from the Courier Picard dated April 15th, 1953, was likely digitized by the mysterious Alain Trogneau as he handled the years 1945 to 1960. Now I'm going to explain to you the next tweet that's about to come up. So there is this app and this website that is in France that is called Babelio, where users can effectively just upload book titles and review them. It's almost like, think of it as a social network for book reviews, like Yelp for book reviews almost, okay? And on this website, Alain Trogneau has a profile. So the Twitter user continues, "And what can be said about the intriguing comment posted in 2017 on Alain Trogneau's Babelio page, years before the Brigitte Macron Madame affair, even before Macron's election?" And then they show you a screenshot you can see here of Alain Trogneau's Babelio profile, and it reads, "C'est ça la géopolitique." And that means this is geopolitics. Could be nothing, but that's what it says. This is geopolitics. And so the Twitter sleuth then asks the question, what connection is there between an unknown provincial archivist teacher and geopolitics? This is just supposed to be a teacher that is interested in history and and yet he's mentioning geopolitics on his Babel profile. Okay, let's continue. The user continues by asking, who then is this Mr. Alain Trogneau who was rummaging through the same archives as Natasha Ray's friend, accompanied by a mysterious stranger with an earpiece? So then they include this video, which I'm about to play for you. Now, to be clear, this woman, Corinne, is speaking in French. So we had to use AI technology to make her speak in English. So there might be some slight, you know, slight words that are wrong here. We wanted to make sure that you guys could hear it. And to set this up for you, Natasha Ray, in case you forgot, is the woman who has been dragged through the mud by the Macrons. They sued her and Amandine Roy for defamation. They have now lost that lawsuit in the appellate courts. Well, back when Natasha Ray was researching and everything pertaining to Brigitte Macron, she had people that she was working with, people that she hired, or maybe they were volunteering their time, who were willing to travel to Amiens to go to the archival center and to pull documents. And one of these individuals was this woman named Corinne. She sends its existence or not, Brigitte's existence. And the lady is shocked when, while she's there waiting for her documents, you know, because they have to call you up to the counter, she hears the name Trogneau being called. So someone else with the last name Trogneau was waiting for documents pertaining to the same period of time that she was looking for documents. And she recognizes the person to be Alain Trogneau. Here's what Corinne says in her own words. Take a listen.
"And when finally the first archives arrive, it's first come, first served. The person in charge of the archives at the reception says, 'Here you go, your order has arrived.' So the person gets up and says, 'This is for Mr. Trogneau's order, right?' At that point, you can imagine my ears perked up. I thought to myself, well, that's odd. It's still pretty unfortunate. What a coincidence that a Mr. Trogneau would be doing research at the same time as me. So what I do is, almost automatically, I take a photo of the person in front of me. I send a message to Natasha saying, 'Listen, I don't understand. There's a Mr. Trogneau sitting across from me, also looking through archives, and it seems to be the Courier Picard. And so here's the photo I took. So this one, of course, to fully respect their privacy, I have carefully blurred out, as is always done in such situations, the entire facial area of the individual because I deeply respect their personal privacy and confidentiality. When I get the photo, I recognize him immediately and I tell her, 'That's Alain Trogneau, the historian who had all the Somme archives and the Courier Picard digitized. But what really troubled me beyond the conversation stopping when I arrived and the way he spoke so discreetly was that I was very surprised to see this man, Trogneau, from the first table, get up and head toward the door. But just a few seconds later, this is actually another day, but just a few seconds later, the man sitting across from me at the table also gets up and heads in the same direction for the same amount of time as Mr. Trogneau, and then one after the other, they both come back in turn and resume their seats. This really troubles me. So I don't know if, did they talk to each other, Karine?" I don't know. I didn't see them talk to each other, but it was unsettling because it really seemed synchronized, getting up at the same time, going in the same direction, coming back after the same amount of time. It was really unsettling.
So what is happening there? She's not sure who this individual is that's sitting with an earpiece and has nothing that goes on longer. And she describes how he had no documents with him. And that's very unusual. You would never see someone, she said, at an archival center that's just sitting there with an earpiece. That sounds to me, and of course we can't confirm this, but that's probably security. That's what security does. I've had security before. They'll have an earpiece and they'll pretend that they don't know you, and but they're making, looking over you. But why on earth would this guy, Alain Trogneau, who's a teacher and a historian, have security on him if it is security? But also, what was he doing at the archive center getting his hands on documents that he gave the archive center? You gave the archive center these documents. They've since wiped it from their website for some unknown reason, but you should have the originals at home. What are you doing here? Are you trying to intimidate her? Or you realize people are fishing around? Are you trying to remember what you gave them? We don't know the answers, but that is incredibly strange. And making matters even more strange, and I'm going to be clear here that I have not yet had an opportunity to vet this information, but it is definitely interesting, is that someone else contacted us on the tips line, because tips@CandiceOwens.com if you have anything. And they said, Candace, the entire Trogneau family origin story makes no sense entirely. Before we get into that, by the way, I do want to say that if you have any information pertaining to this Alain Trogneau, we'd love to hear it. We've researched him. He exists. He has a Wikipedia page, actually. Skylar, do you want to throw that up? Alain Trogneau is a French teacher and local historian. He is a history professor in Amiens. So the question becomes, again, which this user is pointing out, why would this person who is local to Amiens, concerned themselves with only Amiens history, be referring to geopolitics at all? There could be an answer for that. Alain Trogneau, if you're watching, we'd certainly love to ask you questions. We'd love to ask you, actually, if we could sit you down throughout this lawsuit. How are you, if you are related to Brigitte? If you're a Trogneau from Amiens, I'm going to go ahead and I think it's a safe assumption that you might be related to the Trogneau family whose documents you are digitizing at the archive center, the originals of which you should have then, right? That would make sense that you had these originals since you are a quote unquote historian. You really got to wonder about these historians, right? I mean, it's like, are we documenting history or are we rewriting history? I find myself asking that question. The more I learn, the less I realize we know. Regarding everything, truly regarding geopolitics, like just as I am re-examining what happened during World War II and the press is screaming, they're like, you cannot look into World War II at all. I'm going, really, history is told by the victor. And then they get their historians to write. It's when the Bible tells us that Satan is the author of lies, hard emphasis on the author. Right? Like I feel now it might be a hard emphasis on the author. Who are these authors that are just lying all the time? The press and the state of everything they write just seems to be one big lie. So yes, I am going to say to the public, who is this Alain Trogneau? No, I can't find who his father is, who his mother is. I can't find a thread. And granted, we just started looking into this. Between him and Brigitte, I don't see any denial that you're related to Brigitte. It would be strange if you weren't related to Brigitte, because as we know, the Trogneaus are gang up in Amiens, right? That brings me to this next tip that I'm about to tell you about. So this person writes us, and they are like, the entire background story of the Trogneau family is weird. And they've done a lot of research. They sent me a lot. They've sent me photos, but I have to take time to vet this. But I'm putting this out there in case you may know something and want to say something. But their story, Brigitte's story, is I come from this family of chocolatiers. Like, we made the macaroons. Nobody does chocolate like my family. And even on their website, the Trogneau family website, they tell the story that they have been doing this, I believe, since 1897. And here's the long lineage. We've kept this lineage of chocolatiers. So this person writes me, and they're like, Candace, I don't know if you know this, and here are the photos, but Amiens was absolutely destroyed by the German forces. During the Battle of France in 1940, the German forces actually captured Amiens And he's sending me photos. He's like, everything was destroyed. So how is it that their family kept up this chocolate business all the way through the occupation of German forces? Like, did they just like destroy kind of almost everything? And they were like, but the chocolate's good. Chocolate's great. We're going to keep that for a little bit. And it is true. I looked into just basic history of Amiens, and it is true that it was captured by German forces. It wasn't liberated until 1944. And yes, apparently the majority of the city center was destroyed due to aerial bombardment. And so they are saying that they have been pulling files pertaining to the chocolate story. They're going, even the chocolate story, there's something wrong here. And my gut tells me this person might be onto something, because they sent me, like I said, a very compelling document that I'm going to begin the process of vetting. But as we do that, as we begin to vet, I got to put it out to you guys, okay? What do you know? We need everybody involved now. This is a global investigation, okay? Jean-Michel Trogneau's military file is missing. We know that he was in Algeria. And for whatever reason, they don't want to release that military file. What goes on in Algeria? What goes on in Morocco? Might be a place to look. You guys can go down to local centers. Maybe there's something that pops up regarding a Jean-Michel Trogneau. Maybe there was a teacher. Maybe old photos. Who knows? Old students. I think we definitely need to have a look at that stuff. If you're a French person, you have a friend from Amiens. It seems like everyone in Amiens is kind of related. Maybe they have a tip. I live in Amiens and I'm kind of terrified of my own family. And I got to get this information out to you. Please, you guys, send us tips at CandiceOwens.com, because I am seized by this now. I wake up every day and I learn something else that is crazy, including now that, of course, the person who digitized the birth announcement happens to have the last name Trogneau and could be traveling with security, potentially. We don't know that for sure. Elaine Trogneau, if you are watching, I can't find anything about you other than the fact that you're a historian. You document everything that's ever happened in Amiens. We would have you on the show. Maybe you could clarify things for us regarding Brigitte Trogneau, who you might be related to, and what's going up with this chocolate factory. Like, what happened when it was being occupied Amiens by German forces? Were you just still selling chocolates? Maybe you've got some alternative photos, because this person is saying there was actually a different shop that was there. I don't know if that's true, but I'm paying attention. So we'll see. All right, guys, I want to throw it to one of our sponsors right now. Oh, wait. First, I have to show you this. Okay, genuinely, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm not trying to be mean, because there's a lot of elements of this case that are compelling. And of course, there's a lot of physical evidence. I did someone's show earlier. I did The Spectator with Freddie Gray. And you could look at this. You could examine this story from a lot of different ways. We all know that. And the physical evidence is compelling, obviously. Siblings could look alike, but the absence of speaking about your sibling or presenting him makes it pretty shady. But there's this video, and people have been speaking about this, and I never saw it so clearly than in this video that was recently captured of Brigitte. The size of Brigitte's hands, and again, I'm not trying to be mean, guys. We're just taking a look at everything. The sheer size of Brigitte's hands, the one thing that you can't operate on, right? You can't. You can't just be like, I'm going to go in and get new feet or new hands. I mean, you could, but that would probably render your hands and your feet totally dysfunctional. But in terms of cosmetics, yeah, no, you can't do that. Look at this video on Instagram. Wait until Brigitte is standing. You'll see that right hand, the one that doesn't have the bag. It's crazy. It is going to get crazy. Hold on 1 second. Right there. Look at the size of that hand. That is a very large hand. I'm gonna put that right there. That is a very large hand for a madame. Okay, throwing it to some of our sponsors. Preborn, I've told you guys about them before. I'll say it again. You guys already know that I'm pro-life. That means I stand with mothers before their baby is born and long after. And that's exactly why I partner with Preborn. Preborn isn't out to judge women. They're making motherhood possible. They provide free ultrasounds. They share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most importantly, they stay after the baby is born with real practical support by giving expecting mothers diapers, baby clothes, and even housing and financial help for up to 2 years after the baby is born. That's what true Christ-centered compassion looks like. And here's how you can be a part of it. For just $28, you can give a mom a free ultrasound and a chance to see her baby. And when she does, she's twice as likely to choose life. Preborn is on a mission to save 70,000 babies this year. So don't just say that you're pro-life. You can actually live that. Donate now by calling 855-601-2229, or you can head to preborn.com/Candace. Again, that's preborn.com/Candace. Also want to talk to you about the wellness company, because there have been a lot of people who are struggling to conceive. Maybe you're somebody that took the COVID vaccine and you have cause for concern. And you're not alone, by the way. A recent study that was led by a Danish researcher named Dr. Manichi analyzed birth data from women between the ages of 18 to 39 over a two-year period starting in 2021. The findings suggest a significant decrease in birth rates among vaccinated women, with data indicating a reduction in egg count by nearly 60%. Since 2021, many regions around the world have seen a significant decline in fertility rates, together with an increase in miscarriage rates. The wellness company created the 3-in-1 Ultimate Spike Detox, crafted with 100% natural ingredients, which is specifically designed to help your body clear harmful spike proteins, reduce inflammation, and support your overall health. So don't wait. Experience the only formula that is approved by Dr. McCullough, who is a top freedom-fighting doctor who risks it all. Head to twc.health/Candace and use code Candace, and you'll get 15% off plus free shipping. The spike detox. You can do that again by heading to code Candace at checkout. Okay, now I want to get to this story. Speaking of like a war on the press, I don't know if you are where I'm at right now and realizing that our reality really might be one big matrix. Now that we realize they like to kind of laugh at us by creating art, or like, you know, putting a book in the corner on the desk like Macron. It's like, ha ha, it's Andre Gide, ha ha, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, maybe that 90s movie, The Matrix, was telling us the truth and our reality is being created for us. And these stories, the more we get into them, whether it's Epstein and this hand of Midas pulling him through, pretending that he's like some genius, whether we look at Elizabeth Holmes and you're like, oh, we thought like this girl who was maybe a genius and actually is kind of a fraud, and she's smiling and she comes from a family of billionaires. Every time you look up a story of somebody who allegedly just made something in their basement, like we discussed yesterday, you know, I was just toying around in my basement fixing a motor. You look into their families and they're old wealth families. They're old wealth families. And then we learn about operations like Operation Mockingbird, New York Times working with them to delude our minds, to delude the minds of the masses, tell us to look away from the JFK story. They're paying them. Like the CIA was paying, had on their payroll, the New York Times. That's crazy stuff. Well, there is this journalist, Barry Weiss, might be Barry Weiss, I'm not sure. And we're supposed to believe this woman's a genius, okay? She was employed at the New York Times after conveniently spending a year in Israel, Hebrew University, which also happens to be where the Adelsons pour a lot of their money. Because Miriam Adelson also attended Hebrew University. Anyways, Barry Weiss goes over there, does a year there, comes back, you know, Columbia University, gets her journalist degree and gets a job at the New York Times. Okay, great. Then she does this big thing where she goes, I'm leaving the New York Times to launch my own thing, which is the Free Press. And it's obviously just a Zionist outlet. And if you're looking around, people are not being drawn to sign up to support Israel. Like the genocide thing kind of happened and people went, you know what, maybe no. So there's been a complete collapse in support for Israel. And Barry Weiss and the Free Press, it's an abysmal performance for the amount of money that was given to her quote unquote Free Press, the big money that was behind it, David Sachs, Mark Andreessen. For some reason, they were like, Barry's got the special sauce. But they don't want you to believe your own eyes, right? If you go to YouTube, I'm going to just show you the last videos that they've posted. And there's the reason why I'm showing you this. Okay. She's had this up 29,000 views for 24 hours, 19,000 views in an interview 2 days ago, 6,000 views on an interview that's been up for 8 days. But we're supposed to, every billionaire is lining up to throw money at her. Well, guess what? Now they're saying that Barry Weiss's Free Press is worth $250 million. That's the valuation, right? $250 million for an organization which shouldn't even be able to employ people if we live in a meritocracy, right? You should be like, she doesn't know where she's making any money. And the idea here is they want you to believe that, okay, maybe nobody's watching them at all on YouTube, but people are reading her, right? It's always the data that we can't see. Apparently, yes, there's been a collapse in support for Israel. Apparently, yes, literally every person who has a platform that is pro-Zionist has lost support and lost views. But Barry's musings, her writings, her monthly updates or whatever it is she's sending to people, they're paying for it. And to the tune of, the company is worth $250 million. Huh? The most views I've ever seen the Free Press get, okay, is this week when they announced the valuation, because everybody's reporting going, what's going on? Like, this is so fake. Hand of Midas stuff happening right here, okay? She should, if we actually lived in a meritocracy, she should just be failing. If this was actually the free markets, nobody's buying right now, her business should be going under. But instead, she's selling over $250 million. And people are looking. Apparently, they're saying Larry Ellison is interested in buying. That's what the press is alleging. Okay, Larry Ellison of Oracle. It's just, they're laughing at us. Anyways, I want to show you this really funny clip of Tim Dillon making fun of this absurdity. Take a listen.
I mean, unless we're all completely wrong here and that Jeffrey Epstein was not at all connected to the Mossad, but it seems he was. It seems he was. So again, it would call into question this relationship that we've had with our, quote, greatest ally for a very long time. That can't happen. I don't care how many, you know, Barry Weiss, whose company is, you know, sold now, is going to sell to CBS for $3 trillion or something. Larry Ellison's son's buying the Free Press. You know, the very important Free Press blog that is on Substack is worth $250 million. And I like Barry, but the free, you know, the one that gets like 7,500 views on YouTube? That powerhouse conglomerate media company is worth $250 million, by the way. So the Tim Dillon show is apparently worth $1 billion. Hello, Miriam. Where's my money? $300 million, $250 million for Barry Weiss's blog, in which she interviewed megastar Ross Douthat from the New York Times about why conspiracies have taken the hold of the American mind. And Ross goes, well, you know, the thing about conspiracies is there is an element of truth. Not in this one. There's not an element of truth. It's that it's all truth. It's all the elements of all of the truth. It's not a kernel of truth. It's lots of kernels in a bag of popcorn. But there's a two. But this is what, and every article now is like, why have conspiracies? The minds of people are being warped. They're melting because of the conspiracy. So, you know, again, and everyone talks about, like, everyone's like, oh, the grift is to go against Israel. It's like, clearly not. The grift is $250,000 for the blog, for your blog.
Yeah.
By the way, God bless. Nice woman, sweet, charming woman. Her and her wife, lovely people. No issue with them directly at all. They don't like me anymore, which is fine because, again, you're on the team or you're not on the team. You criticize one thing, I mean, you're off the team.
He nails it, okay? Are we supposed to actually believe that the free markets are not an illusion when we learn that Barry Weiss's failing company is potentially going to be purchased by Oracle, by Larry Ellison, rather, maybe in his own personal capacity? Why? Why would he be looking at Barry Weiss at all in the Free Press, where they're telling us not to believe our own eyes, right? Not to believe our eyes. Barry Weiss is really just as talented. And she's just as brilliant. Don't believe me? Go watch her interview with Joe Rogan, because then you won't believe me at all that she's brilliant. It's completely ridiculous. This is what I say. We're noticing this trend, and it's always these people that are super committed to Israel in every regard. And they just get pulled up through the ranks, and we're told they really were just that genius. She really is worth $250 million. And yeah, the real grift is that. It's LOL to people that think that the grift is being anti-Israel. Are you kidding me? People get fired, harassed. Students, they're hunting down students who are going, okay, maybe don't wear an IDF shirt to the gym when they're conducting a genocide. They're like, this person's life needs to be ruined. That person in the future will be considered a hero. I believe that. All of these people that are supporting this will be considered worse than Nazis, to be honest with you. But as we await that, this is a moment. We are facing this moment where we have to ask ourselves, is anything real? And I think the answer to that is obviously no. It's almost like in the West, they just wanted us to believe in our own freedom, right? And they're turning us all into employees. It's a new kind of slavery, you know, thinking that you can achieve and work yourself off the plantation, you know, work hard. But at the end of the day, No. They're in control of all the companies. And if you do, somehow they're going to buy it from you. Like, they're going to offer you a huge check and tell you to go away because they have to own everything, right? Or as happened with the Bitcoin stories, a lot of Bitcoin people, or I should say cryptocurrency people, ended up dead in mysterious circumstances, and because they represented some sort of an existential threat to their monetary system. But this is not looking good. I'm done being told to believe that people who are objectively stupid, okay, or are objectively not successful when you look at the numbers, the sheer numbers, okay, are actually incredible. They're actually achieving greatness to the tune of $250 million. Anyways, further on the topic of everything being fake and gay and how all of this really is connected and really is a challenge for us to recognize that we are at war with our press. This has been the importance of the Blake Lively lawsuit. People, why are you covering this? Are you crazy? This is exactly what it is that we're talking about. Okay, a couple goes to the New York Times amongst their powerful elite friends and says, hey, I just kind of want the publishing from this guy, Justin Baldoni. And so we're just going to make up this narrative. And do you mind writing this article, Megan Toohey? Yeah, one of the people who launched the Me Too movement. Do you mind just writing this article? Because that works typically. Just companies get completely sunk and they have to sell really quickly if we just kind of smear them with the idea that they're a rapist. And the New York Times said, yeah, sure, that's not a problem. And they released this article. And the only takeaway you could have as a reader was that this guy was the biggest creep ever. Justin Baldoni was the biggest creep, porn addicted, can't stop talking about sex, tried to cop a look of her boob while she was breast pumping. Cause like, I guess that's very attractive. A machine going crank, crank, crank. And they couldn't stop. He's just crazy. And poor Blake, she's a survivor. And then Brian Friedman hit us with the facts. And it was one of these moments where we went, why do we listen to the mainstream press ever? These are assassins. They're journalistic assassins, okay? And so in this remarkable, again, exposing to us also potentially the corruption of the courts, they started issuing all these subpoenas because Blake Lively's entire story, don't forget, is that there was some inside untraceable campaign and that it couldn't be possible that people organically disliked her, right? So no, but they must have been working with all of these people. And she starts throwing out these subpoenas. I got a subpoena. I didn't even know Justin Baldoni's name last year. I got a subpoena. How am I a part of this untraceable campaign? And of course, immediately I did an episode. I said, I'll subpoena myself. I didn't even mention this girl, Blake Lively, in my phone 2 times over the last 5 years. Okay. And so when we received the subpoena, my lawyer called her lawyer and said, what are you guys looking for? Like, obviously, Candace is happy to give you every bit of anything that you want because she has nothing to do with this lawsuit. And she didn't even begin covering this lawsuit until the end of January of 2025. So yeah, you guys filed this in 2024. What do you need? But remarkably, what they specifically wanted, which is very strange, was they extended the time and they wanted to see whether or not we had communications this year, 2025. Why? Why is the judge allowing them to go on this fishing expedition to pretend that anything that happened this year is relevant to the case that she filed last year? Apparently, she's trying to prove that it's still going on or something, and the judge is allowing this BS. Why would the judge allow this? This is an absolute nonsense. So we went to them and said, Candace has never been told what to publish. That was a part of their subpoena, wanting to figure out whether people were sending us talking points, whether or not people had paid us, whether or not people were encouraging, like asking us to say certain things throughout an episode. It's a nonsense. In fact, I should sue them for defamation for even suggesting that I would let somebody put words in my mouth. It's bad for my brand. You hurt me now. That feels like an untraceable campaign, Blake Lively. Okay, cut that out right now. And he said, obviously that's not true. Do you even know who Candace is? And we absolutely are not giving you our communications. We will file to completely quash this subpoena and we will win because we will cite reporter's privilege. You know that Candace went out and said, if you have any tips, send it to her line at tips@CandaceOwens.com. You know that she then began receiving tips. So what are you trying to do? What game are you trying to play? Are you trying to like find a communication and then try to trot it out as PR proof? Like, oh yeah, no, Candace, see, they were all involved and colluding in February of 2025 after we filed our lawsuit. That's a nonsense. And they had a friendly conversation. You know, the lawyers had a friendly conversation and they asked us not to file the quash until they could see they filed some motion whether or not they could win on forcing the defendants of this case, Brian Friedman and co, Justin Baldoni, to have to give their communications so that it won't actually involve me at all, meaning we can get them. They will be subpoenaed and they will have to turn over their communications rather than including you. Yeah, that would kind of be the big idea. It's between all of you guys. And again, it seems very strange to me that they're trying to pivot a strategy here and they're no longer concerned with what was leading up to this lawsuit, but they're trying to prove that this campaign is happening now. All I can say to you is, legitimately, from the bottom of my heart, I hate people who lie. I cannot stand the idea of people being so wealthy and so connected that they can ruin people's lives. This is also my emotional attachment to this Brigitte story now, right? You're trying to ruin people's lives for telling the truth. It's happening across the board. You guys are colluding with the press. The press is supposed to protect the little guy, okay? The press is supposed to protect the Natasha Reyes. The press is supposed to protect Xavier Poussard. The press is supposed to be outraged at the idea of a president, a sitting president with all of the power and the press in his pocket, filing a lawsuit against a mom reporting on events in her home. But they're not, because they are a part of the elite, okay? Like I said, they are trained. They have never been a separate entity. There is no such thing as the Fourth Estate. It is all a part of the estate that has been built to delude us into that can, right? They, if we don't stand up, our kids are going to inherit this. And I keep saying that to people, be brave, okay? Send us the tips, tell us what we need to know, tell us where the bodies are buried, and I will report on it. We have to be brave. They want us not to be brave. That's why they're giving us all this distraction, technology, social media, breeding weak men. They want everybody to be homosexual, right? That's another element of this. They want men to behave like women while telling women that they're going to find happiness behaving like men. You women, you go to work. Men, you be more effeminate. All of that is a part of what I believe to be a broader strategy to effectively weaken our societies so that even if they go full mask down and say, yeah, sexual perverts are running the world, we are not going to have it within us the courage to fight these people. That's it. Because we're just going to be like, oh, but like I'm on Instagram. I'm really comfortable. Everything's so plush. I don't really want to fight for anything. Nothing really matters. So I will just accept my enslavement. I say no, no, no to all of that. By the way, shout out to Perez Hilton. I thought regarding the Brigitte Macron case that I had the absolute best headline ever written when they said Candace Owens subpoenas herself live. But I got to say, Perez Hilton, this headline really made me chuckle. It was in Us Magazine, Us Weekly. Blake Lively slams Perez Hilton in court for calling her Ku Klux Khaleesi. Ku Klux Khaleesi. And she says that he's not a journalist. Yeah, she had to sit down and be deposed. And I don't know why, but Ku Klux Khaleesi sent me. Stop being a big baby. You were so happy to play the game in smearing Justin Baldoni. Now, oh my gosh, you're so fragile. I can't deal with it. This is how they are, right? When they have full power, it's ha, ha, ha. And then suddenly when the tables turn and people wake up to the truth, then it's running, running. Where's my lawyer? File a lawsuit. Trump, please shut her up. Sorry, I'm not shutting up. And every day that passes, I'm a little more angry at Donald Trump because I'm realizing he has not said anything about this leader coming over and trying to essentially trample the Constitution. What does that mean? Like now I'm starting to go back in my mind and you guys tell me if you think this is fair. And I'm wondering when Trump called me and presented it as like, oh, you know, could you stop talking about this because of Ukraine and Russia? Was it really because of Ukraine and Russia? Or was he protecting the elites? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But now I'm going back in my mind and I'm starting to wonder, like, are we looking at a globalist government and they're terrified because the people are waking up and they're going, real gonna recognize real. Globalists going to recognize globalists, okay? And we need to get this under control. Nip this girl in the bud. Make sure you tell her that she can't say anything. She respects you. Was I taken for a ride? What do you guys think? I'm interested to know what you guys think. Anyways, I'm going to tell you guys before I get to your comments about Tax Network USA, because Tax Network USA proudly believes in freedom, resilience, and financial independence. And for a limited time, they're offering 10% off all services. If you're dealing with back taxes or missed the April 15th deadline, you should not wait because the IRS is stepping up enforcement fast. Penalties can add up quickly, up to 5% per month, maxing out at 25% of your total tax bill. And that's just for not filing. That's on top of what you already owe. But there is some good news. Tax Network USA can still help you turn things around, whether you're self-employed, run a business, or your books are a complete mess. Their team knows how to cut through the chaos and find your solutions that work. Your consultation is completely free, and getting ahead of the problem now could help you avoid harsh penalties, wage garnishments, or surprise tax levies. Take the first step. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Candace. You may have missed the tax deadline, but you haven't run out of options. Let Tax Network USA help. Again, call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Candace. Anyways, I'm fired up. What are you guys thinking about? Got 55,000 of you watching this live. Where are you, Morocco? Where are you, Algeria, France? Get down to your library, okay? We are the captains now. We gotta get to the bottom of the story. I am seized. Germany, what's up? What was up going on in Amiens? Do you guys have records? Like what we probably not, because of course we know that a genocide was committed on the Germans following World War II. Weird little fact they don't want to tell you. Oh, they were the bad guys. Whatever. 2 million of them at the end of the war. Who's looking? Who's paying attention? And then passing speech law so nobody could talk about what happened to their ancestors. Yeah, I'm on to you. Historians, I'm really starting to ask myself some questions. First up in the comments section, I just want to shout out all of you. Le Parisien did a hit piece video on me in France, and the comments totally passed the vibe check on YouTube. Here are some of the comments of you guys saying, obviously the word, because they called me anti-Semitic, this Brigitte Macron story. I'm like, huh? How? Why? This person writes, obviously the word anti-Semitic had to be included, which has nothing to do with the said affair. Next person writes, in which country would a 39-year-old adult have a relationship with a 15-year-old minor? In which country? Next person writes, the Pharisees have spoken and no one believes them. Liars, Pharisees. This next person writes, we recall that the Parisian Bernard Arnault, who enormously helped Macron to come to power. Next user writes, I'm proud of the U.S. I'm proud of us, 802 comments, not a single one in favor of this communication from the Elysee Palace. Bravo to all the conspiracy theorists. Wink. Yes. Yes. It feels like we are united. That's why I said we just got to keep going. We have to keep going on this Brigitte story because it unwinds it all. Somebody messaged me today. They said they are going after you. They're just like hanging you in public in the town square. Because what you represent is everyone in the world waking up. And the elites do not like that. Okay? They do not like that. So they're going to be like, we're going to punish this girl. World, pay attention. What we're going to do to this girl, we're going to kill her. And then you guys will get back in line and realize that we are the writers and we know everything. Not. Okay. Marcy writes, bad news, Candace. The EU is looking to ban all private messages on social media. The GOP majority whip, Tom Emmer, is bringing House members to meet with Netanyahu during the House break. This is the same break to Republicans the Republicans used to stop the Epstein vote. And Skylar has a note here saying that the EU has proposed something called chat control. Of course they have. And it has 19 out of 27 EU member states reportedly backing the measure. The plan would mandate messaging platforms, including WhatsApp, Signal, and Telegram, to scan every message, photo, and video sent by users, even if end-to-end encryption is in place, of course. Because now that we know they're lying, all of us know that they're lying, they need to come in on speech. It's the reason why they're doing it in America. Americans, get loud, okay? We may be the only people that have speech left in this world, okay? Like we need to get louder. We need to scream right now. They're passing anti-BDS laws saying that they're not going to give money if you say anything against Israel. What's that about? We're waking up to the truth. And they're nervous because there's way more of us than there are of them, obviously. I'll never forget when someone said to me, what is the one thing that every civilization with slaves had in common? And the answer is that there was always more slaves than masters. And yet, remarkably, they were somehow able to stem these revolutions. They're right now trying to stem a revolution. They're going, this can't happen, okay? So we're going to pass more laws. We're going to arrest people. We're going to throw people in prison for wrongthink. We're going to bankrupt Candace. It's symbolic. Why do you do that? Think about even on slave plantations. Why do they do that? If they catch a slave running off the plantation, they bring them back and they make all of the slaves get around and they whip the slave. And they sometimes remove the slaves' limbs, cut off their feet. Why do they want all of the other slaves to watch? It's a threat. Don't do that. Get back in line. You see, we didn't want to have to whip them and kill them, but you guys have to see this so that you know not to do what this person is doing. That is effectively what this lawsuit is against me, okay? Problem, I've never been a slave, and I'm not trying to be one for even one day. So truly, F you. Brigitte and Emmanuel, you sicken me. I mean, the idea that you could do this, this is what you're doing. It's a slave whipping. Just admit it. It's a slave whipping. Little rowdy. What do you guys used to? Right? When you guys see black and brown people, you're like, well, we're down in Algeria just doing stuff. No, not happening here. Sorry. And if people want to know why I act like this, I give this question. Like, Candace, where do you get this? I figured it out. It's definitely because my granddad spoiled me. My granddad's fault. Granddad, sharecropping farm. I could do nothing wrong in granddad's eyes as long as I told the truth. So if you guys want to know, my granddad, may he rest in peace. Love him so much. He was just the best example. You know, you just got to be able to do a deal on a handshake. Don't trust people who lie and stand up when it comes to your family. So I'm going to be doing all of those things. You can blame granddaddy. Okay. Fly writes, because I love your podcast and all that you do, I'm also signed up for the book club and I'm going to order a t-shirt. Thank you so much for the support. We just started the Assault on Truth. We get to get back, like I said, talking about, speaking of Paris and weird stuff that happens in Paris, Sigmund Freud, the Assault on Truth, learning the truth about him and psychology and how it's all connected to what's happening today with the mass gaslighting. This is an important book. CandaceOwens.com, you guys can sign up, and that is the best way to support me in the work that I do. Frank writes, I'm late to the show. Not sure if you brought it up, but check Brigitte's fingers. Most of the time, a male's pointer finger is shorter than their ring finger, and vice versa. Frank, look at Brigitte's hands today, not the fingers, but yeah, just again, examining all the evidence. You got to get when she's just standing side by side. Like when the hand is down, actually, is even more telling. We got to get a still of that. It's because it's really, really a big hand. Katie F. and Marie writes, Candace, when you win the bet against Piers Morgan, would you consider donating the funds to the USS Liberty Vets to continue to help get their story out? That is a great idea. I'll probably divide it amongst charities that I care about. USS Liberty is definitively a number one charity. Just thinking about what those boys lived through and they're just being gaslit by their own government is unbelievable. If you haven't watched that episode, you definitely should just it's on our podcast series, my sit down with a USS Liberty survivor who just brought me into a new reality. That's also why I wouldn't be quiet on Gaza. You're not media. You're not capable of making me look the other way on stuff. Okay. We next have Orudnap. He writes, support Baldoni and Wayfarer. We need them to win over Blake and survive to make content that changes the world. Justin Baldoni could be in a movie that is so objectively bad. It doesn't matter what he goes into next. And an army of people will be buying tickets to support this man. He could just honestly, at this point, go live and then release it in theaters. Like, he just do a 5-minute live, like, hey, it's me and my family, we're just hanging out. And go, I'm releasing it in theaters. I am lining up for tickets to support this man. Truly. After reading through this lawsuit and the hideous nature of what was done to him, I promise you, he could release anything. And I will be saying to everyone, line up. We're going to support Justin Baldoni because what happened to him was absolutely awful. Lou Castley writes, that ET pic just took me out. What ET pic? We shared a picture of Brigitte Macrone. I don't know what you guys are talking about. That's weird. I don't know why you commented that. Diamond Encrusted Abdullah writes, birth certificate documents are forged all the time. Well, don't you worry about the birth certificate document because we just have an announcement in the Courier Picard. Haven't you seen the announcement? Yeah. Well, thankfully it was scanned to us by the Trognos. Trust the science. Okay. Trust the science, my friends. Anyways, send us tips at CandaceOwens.com. And we will continue to prod the narrative here because I am seized, you guys. We'll see you on Monday.